Our theme scripture, as always, for this room, since we started it every morning, by the grace of God, we started October 1. And today is December 1. And I have a prophetic word for December 1 as well. But before we get there, our theme scripture is Leviticus 6, 12, and 13. The priests must bring wood every morning, laid in order upon the altar, and crank up the fire. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And they must not allow the fire to go out. The fire must always be burning. Hallelujah. Now, it is another opportunity for us right now to share the word of God and to share prayer together and to crank up that fire. Glory to God. Let's crank it up some, you know. Let's crank it up. Let's crank it up. Let's crank it up. This is time in His presence. And you know, when we spend time in His presence, you know what He does, among other things? You know, we call Him Redeemer. We don't call Him Redeemer for nothing. The Lord can redeem that time. Hallelujah. The time that you spend in His presence, not just in this room, you know, whatever time, you know, that you spend in His presence, you know, thinking of nothing else, you know, withholding nothing and just being in His presence. That time the Lord is able to redeem. I have seen it multiple times. He can redeem that time for you. You spend an hour in His presence, the Lord will cause sometime down the road that time to be redeemed for you. You may be able to accomplish something in amazing time. Maybe it'll take you only 20 minutes to do something that could have taken you 3 hours, or the Lord will save you from some trouble. He may not tell you that that's the reason that He did it was associated with a particular time you spent in His presence, but that's how it works, because He's called a Redeemer. Glory to God. So, welcome this morning. You know, let's share the room, share it on Clubhouse, share it to your friends, and we're going to get started right here. You know, it's an amazing time in His presence. You know, today is day one of month 12. Well, our own month 12, you know, our calendar is, of course, you know, different than the way, you know, God had it in the Bible for the Jewish people. But nonetheless, you know, I'm not a Jew. So I go with the calendar that I have. And the one that we have says that today is day one of month 12. And let's see what the Lord will do for us on such a day as this. Well, are you excited? I am fired up. Are you fired up? Of course. You know, let's be fired up when the time we come into His presence. Fired up means we're excited. You know, we are in anticipation and expectation, you know, of something great that the Lord is going to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, first I'm going to read a scripture. Then we're going to get into the prophetic prayers. Hallelujah. And let me describe what prophetic prayers mean. So I'm sure many of us in the room already know that. But it's literally taking the word of God, you know, to pray or to speak over situations. And it becomes prophetic because it's God's word. God's word is always prophetic. You know, so if you are able, if you do your due diligence to find the word that pertains to the situation, or the Holy Spirit brings it to your mind, which He does. That's one of the things He does. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, He will bring to your remembrance things which I have already told you. The Holy Spirit brings it to your remembrance, or you search the scriptures and find the word that is pertinent to the situation, or The Holy Spirit himself gives you a direct word. He can do that too. Either way, and then you turn around and use that word, you know, to pray and to remind the Lord of what he already said, you know, and then it becomes what we call a prophetic prayer. Now, prophetic prayer doesn't mean you have to be a prophet, you know, to be able to do that. Well, you could be a prophet. That's good. You may have the prophetic gift. That's good too. But this word by itself is already prophetic in itself. And if you know how to use the word, it can bring the same impact, you know, as though a prophet spoke it or as though the prophetic gift declared it. It's the same thing because the word in itself sustains itself. So the word of God always sustains itself. Once the word of God is spoken, you know, God has, in fact, Psalm 68 verse 11 tells us, when God declares the word, great is the company that publishes it. Well, he's got company, you know, in the heavenly realm to publish things. We've got a role to play upon the earth. The role that two of us play, we who are upon the earth and the heavenly company, that role is described in Psalm 103 and verse 20. In Psalm 103, verse 20, it says, praise ye the Lord, ye heavenly hosts, especially the angels that excel in strength, that, you know, do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So those angels, they do his commandments when they hear the voice of his word. Well, who gives voice to his word? Well, the Lord can do that in the heavens. You know, but we also can do that upon the earth. You know, we can take his word and give voice to it. That's right. We take that written word. We verbalize it. We speak it. Hallelujah. And when we speak it, the Lord said, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do even unto you. That's why we got to be very careful not to speak anything negative, because negative stuff, you know, may carry some unintended consequences when we speak negatively, you know, with our mouth. You know, it carries some unintended consequences. We need to be very intentional, you know, very, very intentional, you know, as we pray and use the word of God. Numbers 14 and verse 28 says unto them, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as he has spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Well, in this particular case, it was negative stuff that they spoke, you know, but the concept is still the same. These people said, we can't do it. Well, the Lord said, well, you won't do it. You know, well, we can say, you know, I can do it. And then the Lord said, yeah, you will do it. You know, so as you speak, you know, in his ears, the Lord said, so will I do unto you. Father, we pray over this room this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everyone that's coming into this room, everyone that's currently here, and the word that we shall share together, thy word is always a lamp to our feet, a, you know, light to our path ahead of us. And we thank you because the entrance thereof brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So as we enter into his presence this morning, we come not empty-handed, but we come with the word. That's right. We enter first with our praises, then we present the word, and we speak the word before the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And today we speak your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And let that word have the power, you know, the efficacy of that word. Let it go forth this morning. Bible says, my word shall not return unto me void, but it will go forth and accomplish the thing whereunto I sent it, prosper in that which I please. You know, as we speak it this morning, prophetically, you know, when you the way prophecy works is we don't need to watch over the word. God is the one that watches over his word to fulfill it. So when we prophetically put it out there, you just go by, you know, on your business, and that word will sustain itself. You know, God doesn't need any helpers for that word. And if he didn't, he can command myriads of angels, you know, as it is written in Psalm 68, verse 11. You know, but on our part, we put it out there, you know, and you let it be. And God will bring it to pass. Glory to God. More especially when the Holy Spirit has already confirmed it. You know, so, you know, and that's what we're going to be doing this morning. Isaiah 43 and verse 26. The Lord said, you know, put me in remembrance and let us plead together. Declare it that thou mightest be justified. You know, so those are all the background for prophetic prayers. But let's talk about, you know, the spoilers that have been spoiling God's people. On a day such as this, you know, the number 12 is actually very significant in scripture. And I want to read, just a verse, you know, maybe more than a verse, a text out of Ezekiel chapter 32. And then we're going to get into it. Well, Ezekiel 32 says, it came to pass in the 12th year. Well, forget the 12th year for now. In the 12th month, in the first day of the month, such as this, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And what is that lamentation? Well, before we go to that lamentation, let me remind you that in the book of Genesis chapter 15, God said to Abraham, he gave him a promise. But even before that, he was telling him that, look, I want you to know of a surety that your people will become a stranger in a land that is not theirs. And the people will afflict them 400 years. This is Genesis chapter 15 and verse 13. The Lord said to Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed, well, Abraham didn't even have a seed then, that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Well, that's not the part I want to talk about. But the part I want to talk about today is the next verse. And also that nation, which was the nation of Egypt and Pharaoh, whom they shall serve, will I judge. And afterward, they shall come out with great substance. You know, so anytime you see prophecy against Egypt and against Pharaoh in the word of God, it goes right back to this thing here. And the Lord said, I will judge that nation. Well, let's put it this way. You know, today we don't live in Egypt. We're not under that physical taskmaster that they had back then, or those physical taskmasters. But the concept is the same. You know, people are, some of God's people, many in fact, are under spiritual Egypt and being tormented by Pharaoh, and they have different taskmasters. But Jesus also said, look, when a strong man is keeping his own things, his goods, and he thinks he's at peace in his palace, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him, well, he will bind him and then he will spoil his goods. So we can spoil the spoilers. Well, the word of God has actually done it. He said, I will spoil the nation that spoiled you. That's what he said. So when Ezekiel began to take up a lamentation against Egypt, well, there were many times that God spoiled Egypt. He spoiled them physically during the time that he delivered Israel by a strong hand under Pharaoh, I mean from under Pharaoh, through the ministry of Moses and Aaron back there. We know the stories. But even, you know, God used to prophesy against that nation. And here is one of them, you know, take up that lamentation in Ezekiel, you know, chapter 32, against Egypt, because of all the evil. And think of it this time around as spiritual Egypt. And what was the, what is the thing that spiritual Egypt has in common with the old Egypt back then? Well, when Pharaoh appeared before, when Moses appeared before Pharaoh and said, you know, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, look, these people are idle. They are idle. And so that's why they say, I want to go and serve the Lord. And he refused them. And he said, look, let there be their burdens made even stronger. You know, let their chains be stronger, make their tasks harder, give them no straw for the bricks, let them go get it from themselves, lay more burden upon them because they are idle. And they are idle. And that's why they say we want to go serve the Lord. You know, so let there be more burden laid upon them. Well, that's what Pharaoh said. And so till this day, that is still the same tactic. You know, lay more burden upon people of God so they will not have time to worship the Lord. Give them more hardship. Come against them in many ways, whether it's themselves, their loved ones, their children, their job, their finances, whatever. Let there be more burdens laid on them. Let them have more bills to pay so they won't have time for the Lord. Let them have, you know, all kinds of things. Just lay it upon them, you know, so they will not be able to say, you know, we have time to go worship the Lord, you know. They say, well, so that's a tactic, an old tactic. And he's still doing it till today. You know, try to lay more burden. And that's why the word of the Lord comes up against Pharaoh and against Egypt. You know, that look, you've done all of these things, but now it is your turn to receive the judgment from the hand of the Lord. And, you know, you just have to go read all the things that the Lord, the exchanges that God had between himself and Pharaoh in the book of Exodus. And all the things that happened that God did over there. But the same thing, you know, we can spiritually compare it to our time. You know, Pharaoh put those people in serious servitude. Because this was a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And tormented them for 400 years until the word, the time for the promise came. Hallelujah. And there's always a time for the promise. When the time of the promise draws near, then God begins to orchestrate things. Because his word, he watches over that word. And he knows, you know, what he has said, how he's going to punish that nation. And so all of the oppressors, it is time for they themselves to receive oppression from the Lord. It is time for us to put spiritual handcuffs on those that have tried and things that have tried to restrain us. And so we're going to use the word of the Lord. That's what's called prophetic prayers. We're going to use the word of God. We may even prophesy point blank, but be that as it may, we will use the word of the Lord to bring to pass that judgment that is written. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 147, he said, look, let the high praises of God be in the mouth of God's people, and a sharp two-edged sword in their hand, you know, that they may smite and execute, you know, judgment upon the heathen and upon, you know, things such as spiritual Egypt and Pharaoh that have been binding and exerting affliction upon God's people. It's time to turn their tables around. Glory to God. And God said himself, look, I will bless whomsoever and whatsoever is a blessing to you. And I will curse and be against whatsoever is a curse and against you. So the Lord already said that, but for us, we are enforcers. You know, so let's enforce some things today. You know, so the word of the Lord against spiritual Pharaoh and spiritual Egypt today is found in Ezekiel chapter 32. And the Lord said, look, I will bring you down. I will put you upon the ground. I will take you out. You know, Lord, use some strong language here. You know, I will take you out. Actually, he said, because of all the things that you've done to the people of the Lord. You know, the Lord, he said, when I shall do this thing, I will put you on the ground, you know, and cause the birds of the air and everything like that, you know, and they will make the place desolate. And say, when I shall make the land of Egypt desolate, well, think of it of spiritually today. Of course, you know, physically, yes, but think of it spiritually, you know, that all these things, all the plans of the enemy against God's people, all that God, you know, I mean, all that the devil, spiritual Egypt has done to God's children. The Lord said, look, in Ezekiel 32 and verse 7, and when I shall put thee out, when I will take you out, glory to God. God, come out against this thing. I will take you out. You know, I will put you down. I will leave your land desolate. I will cast you forth upon the open field. I will cause the fowls of the air, you know, come upon you and so forth like that. And all of this, he said, on the first day of the 12th month, such as is the word of the Lord came to the prophet Ezekiel to take up this lamentation against Pharaoh and the king of Egypt. So today, let's enact the same. You know, the word of God is actually eternal. You can take anything in the word of God and you can set your mind just right and you can bring it. You know, people used to quote the word of God freely in the scriptures. You know, I remember Peter on the day of Pentecost quoting the prophecy of Joel, where he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And Peter is saying that this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Well, you know, last days, that was 2,000 years ago. So today, if we have a serious outpouring of the Holy Spirit moving upon young people, which we are seeing, you know, and so forth, the young generation has gone astray, but yet God is moving seriously upon some of them. And we can also say, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And so the word of God is eternal like that. Any time, you know, that we can latch onto it by faith, we can cause it to be effective, you know, and we can, you know, just link up with that word. It's so powerful. You know, so today we are taking up a lamentation against the forces of Egypt, the forces of Pharaoh that have troubled God's people. And one of the things we're going to also be doing here is also doing some commanding prayers. That's also part of prophetic prayers. When the Lord said in Isaiah 45 and 11, he said, look, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the works of my hands. Command ye me. I mean, Lord, put it out there. Can you do it? Can you do that? You know, can you? There's a man in the Bible called Joshua. In the book of Joshua, chapter 10, verses 12 to 14, the Bible says that he actually commanded the works of God's hands, but he was speaking to the Lord, but he was actually speaking to the son. And the moon. I mean, how does that work? Well, let's take a look. Joshua chapter 10, verses 12. And you know, the story of Joshua, you know, fighting Amorites and all that, you know. So then spake Joshua to the Lord, Joshua 10 and 12, in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel. Now notice he said, Joshua spoke to the Lord. Well, but let's see what Joshua actually said. You know, here's what he actually said. Sun, S-U-N, stand thou still over Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Well, but it says he spoke to the Lord, but he actually spoke to the sun. Well, because the Lord said, command ye me concerning the works of my hands. You know, so if you can speak to the sun and the moon, then you're literally speaking to the Lord. And so Joshua, he spoke to the sun and the moon. Well, we're told that he spoke to the Lord. And the sun stood still, the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves. Joshua said, look, I need more time. And I need more daylight. I need more sunlight. I can't have the sun go down. We won't be able to see what we are doing. So he spoke to the sun. He spoke to the moon. And there was no day like that before or after that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man. Glory to God. One time, Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 17, he came upon the scene. And here's what he said. He said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year, but according to my word. And he just said it and moved on. That's it. You know, he put it out there like that, according to my word. Glory to God. You know, notice that Elijah did not even say, you know, thus saith the Lord here. He said, because he already stood before the Lord. The Lord already told him what to do. See, you can't do anything. You know, in the kingdom of God, which we have been talking about the last few days, there is no movement except there is first an unction from the Lord. So Elijah already had that unction. God already spoke to him. He already stood before the Lord. He already knew what to do. So when he come out here, he's going to enact what God already told him. See, but he's going to use his very voice to command the works of God's hands. He's going to say to the heavens, you know, you heavens, go on vacation. No rain until I say it again. And he's going to lock it up. That's it. He can say it by his own words. You know, so that's called commanding the works of God's hands. It's also, you know, we can use that today to do bring prophetic prayers and command situations in our time such as this. You know, and all of the evil that the enemy has brought against God's children. We're going to come against some of them today. Now, in the book of Job, chapter 38, there's an exchange here from between the Lord and Job that gives us an understanding of some things that can happen, you know, in spiritual realms, if you understand how to walk it. You know, in the book of Job 38, I'm going to read just a few verses. I'll read verse 12 and then maybe verses 31 to perhaps 35. You know, so here's what the Lord said to Job in Job 38 and verse 12. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? Have you caused the day spring to know his place, that he may take hold upon the ends of the earth and the wicked might be shaken out of it? And God began to ask Job many of these questions. But by God asking Job many of these questions, it actually helps us to understand, you know, some things that can be done. So, yes, indeed, you can command, you know, the morning if you know how, you know. And the Lord said, look, in Psalm 110 verse 3, he says, and we've been quoting that in this room, that in the day of God's power, we will be willing. But in the, you know, the beauties of holiness will be commanded from the womb of the morning. Glory to God. You can go, if you understand how to do it. And I'll tell you, powers of darkness, they understand some of these concepts. You know, and they try to do some things in the spiritual realm, you know, to bind, you know, the foolish and unknowing and people who, you know, subjects upon the earth, you know, so the ignorant is the word I was looking for. You know, so, but if we understand the things of God, canst thou command the money. Glory to God. Joshua did it. He commanded the daytime. You know, can you do it? Well, let's find out if we can do it. You know, jump to verse 31 of the same thing, of the same, you know, chapter of 38 of Job. He said, look, can you bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? You know, can you bring forth Maseroth and any season? These are constellations. You know, can you guide Arcturus with his songs? And this is the part that I love. Do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you set their dominion thereof upon the earth? Absolutely. You know, this is the secret of all things. If you can, if you know how to walk that thing, Joshua did. He knew the ordinances which God has set in the heavens. God put it there from the beginning. Let there be two great lights, one to rule the day, one to rule the night. You know, and these were ordinances. You know, he said, let there be the day and night forever. You know, and he said those ordinances. Well, until such a time when the lamp becomes the light of that city and there will be no night and day. But for now, he put those ordinances out there. And Joshua went, you know, and disrupted those ordinances. He sure did. When it was time for the sun to go down, he said, no, it's not yet time. You know, I need a few more hours. And a whole day, the sun hastened not to go down at all. You know, glory to God. You know, so can you, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you set the dominion? And from this verse, we see actually that things that happen on earth are ruled from the heavens. You know, and this is what we need to understand. The people of God need to understand this. You know, some powers of darkness understand this. And they try to use it to afflict God's children. And we need to understand it and turn the tables around. Can you do these things? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds? Can you call abundance of waters to come upon you? Well, Elijah did. You know, one time he closed up the clouds. Another time he prayed for it to come. You know, and can you do these things? Can you send for lightnings that they may go and answer you? And all these things, you know. So by God asking Job these questions, we actually get some insight into what happens in the spiritual realm. Glory to God. And when you have this kind of insight, my lambs, you know, you can actually do these things that God said in Isaiah 45 and 11. Say, command ye me concerning the works of my hands. Well, it didn't really look like Joshua was commanding the Lord. He was actually commanding the sun and the moon. But the commentary said he spoke to the Lord. But indeed, it was the sun that he spoke to. So that's how it works. You can command because God gave us dominion over the works of his hands from the beginning. We've been talking about it for days in this room. You know, the kingdom and the dominion. From Genesis 1, 26 to 28, God gave man, that was his intent, dominion over these things. Psalm 8 talked about it as well. We covered that, I think it was even just 2 days ago. You know, so when we understand this dominion, which of course we cannot get until we are truly in his image and his likeness, God's character and the expression of his character through us, until we really align ourselves with that, we can't get true dominion. But nonetheless, what does dominion look like? It's these things that we're talking about. It's the ability to lift up your voice, you know, and command the sun and the moon. Glory to God. It's the ability for you to be able to tell the lion to sit down in the corner over there. And you can sit down with the lamb. You can sit down with the goat and the chicken. And they can't, you know, they're not even going to be wild. The ability to do all of that. Adam had that dominion. Commanded, you know, his influence, you know, governmental influence that he had over the works of God's hands. Put everything into subjection. You know, at one time, actually, God gave the same to Noah. You know, for a few days while he was gathering all the animals. And for all those days that the ark was going up and down on the sea, you know, Noah had dominion on the waters. Noah had dominion inside the ark over all the animals. You know, he would tell them to sit in the corner and behave. And that's what they did. The lion lay down there with the lamb and everything else. Nobody being wild. None of them being wild against each other. That's dominion. Glory to God. You know, so that's some real power. You talk about power. You talk about dominion. That's when you have the real power. Well, we lost that through Adam's disobedience. But any time that we can align ourselves with the word of God, we can get a little. It's called authority. Authority is a little part of that. Authority is delegated power. But dominion is do as you please. You have sovereignty. You can do anything you want. And that's where we must get back to. But before we get there, we got to align ourselves with the character of God. You can't have dominion if you don't have his character. If you are not in his image. Because if you did, you'll be killing all your enemies. You'll be calling fire down on your enemies. That's what you'll be doing. We don't call fire down on enemies here upon in this room. But we call fire down on some elements of darkness. Not people. God never gave Adam dominion over people. That's witchcraft. You know, but God gave Adam dominion over the works of God's hands. The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle of the field, and over every living thing, you know, and so on. So we can have those kind of dominion. And it is time for us to put Pharaoh and Egypt in its place on a day such as this. On this first day of the month 12, our month, of course, in this type of calendar, different from the Jewish calendar, we know that. But this 12th month, this first day, take up a lamentation against Pharaoh and Egypt. And so we're going to do that. I am going to take up a lamentation today with your help. We're going to do it together. And we're going to take up a lamentation against all the powers of Pharaoh and Egypt that have tormented, that have put more, laden the people of God with more labor. Say, these people are idle. They are idle. Let there be more labor put upon them. You know, so they won't have time to say, I'm going to worship the Lord. You know, and you know, we see that even today. Some people say, well, you know, I got to work 2-3 jobs, so I don't have time to go to the fellowship. Well, that's part of Pharaoh's tactics. Let there be more labor laden upon them. Give them more bills to pay. If they are students, load them with projects, exams, and things like that. So they won't have time for the Lord. You know, if they're in their families, give them trouble. You know, let's stir up husband against wife. You know, I mean, if they have children, you know, cause the children to go astray, do all kinds of things, you know, just bring confusion upon them so that they will not have time to serve the Lord. Well, that's not our deal. Our deal is Jesus said, look, I am the light of life. I mean, if any man come after me, he shall not walk in darkness. We're not going to be confused. We're not going to do, you know, the devil's not going to put any of these things. The enemy shall not exact upon us in Psalm 89. And the Lord is not going, look, Isaiah 62, you know, is the part of one of the scriptures that we're going to use this morning. And I'm going to begin to go into prayers now. I was just trying to lay a foundation for what I meant by prophetic prayers. But I'm going to, you know, we're going to turn it loose now and coming, you know, full force, you know, against the enemy of righteousness. And one of the biggest enemies of righteousness, of course, is, we know that, the mystery of iniquity, right? That's been operating since the fall until now. The children of God must come into their kingdom position and begin to bring in everlasting righteousness. But to do that, you know, we have even little things to overcome first. We can't overcome big things if we don't overcome little things. You can read that in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. In Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5, the scripture says that, look, if you run against footmen and they weary you, well, how are you going to contend against horses then? You know, and if in the land of peace, wherein you trusted, you couldn't hold your own. what are you going to do when all hell breaks loose? You know, Jordan overswells his banks and everything, or cataclysmic upheavals and evil all around. What are you going to do then if you couldn't even hold your own? You know, so that means even in little things, we got to get the victory before we even talk about even big things. Got to get the victory every time. Glory to God. You know, so Isaiah 62 says, look, enough is enough already. For Zion's sake, I will no longer hold my peace. You know, and I am going to not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. Woo. And the royal diadem, we talked about that some few days ago. A royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Neither shall thy land be turned desolate. I did a room a few weeks, several weeks ago called Hephzibah and Beulah. Because the Lord thou delighted in thee, and thy land shall be married. And the Lord said, look, I will, the Lord said, look, I have sworn with my own right hand. This is in verse 8 of Isaiah 62. By the arm of my own strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thy enemies. Enough already. You know, thy oppressors, Pharaoh and Egypt, enough. And the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine anymore, for the which thou hast labored. But those of you that have gathered it, you will eat it, and you will praise the Lord. And you, though have brought it together, you will drink in the court of my holiness, saith the Lord. Glory to God. You talk about restoring back to God's people. That which the enemy, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmerworm, and the locust have eaten. God said, I have sworn by myself, by my right hand, you know, that I will do unto Pharaoh all these things. The lamentation that Ezekiel took up against him, I will do unto him. And I will begin to do it on the first day of this 12th month as the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. Prophesy against Egypt and take up a lamentation against Pharaoh. For all the oppression that you brought against my people, I will also scatter you like the wind. Glory to God. You know, I will put you down. God said, I will take you out. And when I shall do these things, you know, my people shall rejoice over you. Hallelujah. Now, let us take on our, put on our strength. Put on your beautiful garments. Even now, glory to God. Take, you know, shake off the ashes. You know, we don't need to put ashes on our head. Come on. All that stuff. Bow your head down, put ashes on your head and all that stuff and let the devil walk all over you. No. Enough already. This time around, he said in Isaiah 52 and verse 2, he said, look, shake thyself from that dust and loose thyself from the bands around your neck. You, yourself. It's time for you to shake yourself loose. Loose those bands. Grow until those bands snap. Hallelujah. You know, when you grow in the stature of the Lord, those bands will snap off because your muscles are growing, everything's growing. All the things that devil put on you will just snap off. Hallelujah. Can't do it anymore. Enough already. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to take up our lamentation against Pharaoh this morning. Yes, we're going to take up, you know, the word of the Lord against Pharaoh this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready to do it? You know, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Do you know how to command the works of God's hands so that the dominion might be set upon the earth? That's really the secret. You know, if you can pierce and enter into the real place where real power is, which is in the heavens. And how do we do it? We do it by the word of God. Because the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heavens. You know, so the word of God is already settled in the heavens. you know, but let it also be settled in our hearts. Is the word of God settled in your heart? Do you know that God is able to do these things and take up a lamentation this morning against Pharaoh and Egypt and all the things that they, all the affliction that they have brought against the people of God? Well, absolutely. And that's what we are going to do here this morning. Glory to God. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heaven. And if you can enter into that realm, you know, where the word of God is already settled, and you can command the works of his hands at that level, that you can set the dominion thereof upon the earth. I'm not trying to be mysterious or anything. Just saying it exactly, you know, as the word of God says it. And that's what we are going to do this morning. And the Lord said, I will give you double for your trouble. Hallelujah. Now all the things that the enemy have put against you and so forth. And the Lord, and this is consistent, you know, consistent with the things that we've seen in the Bible. When God, he said, you know, the Lord, the Bible says, look, when the Lord turned our captivity, we were all like them that dreamt. When the Lord turned the story of Job around, you know, the Bible says, Lord, you've heard, you know, all of the afflictions of Job, but you have seen the end of the Lord. At the end, the Lord did tremendous things. You know, we've seen even the story of this Ezekiel. This Ezekiel man, he knew not only how to take up lamentation against evil, but he also knew how to call things into existence. Read his story, read his encounter in Ezekiel chapter 37. Read the encounter between Ezekiel, the Lord, and the dry bones. You know, this man, he figured out how to prophesy those dry bones back into life. He didn't know it at first, because the Lord asked him, son of man, can these bones live again? He said, well, I don't know, but thou knowest. And then the Lord told him how to do it, and he figured it out. And once he figured it out, he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. Glory to God. You know, once you know, figure it out, you take that word, you turn it around into a prophetic prayer. That's what prophetic prayers are. You take the word. You can't pray anything. I've been teaching it forever and in this room. You cannot pray anything. You cannot command anything and cause it to come to pass when the Lord commands it not. You find that in Lamentation 3 and 37. Who is it that saith and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? You know, so you can't. So that's where you start. You start with the word. You figure out what the Lord has already commanded in his word. Like this one that he has commanded, you know, shame upon Pharaoh and Egypt. He's commanded that he's going to take him out because of what he had done to the children of God. Well, once you figure out that that's what God is saying, then you begin to say that same things in prayer. That's called prophetic prayers. Hallelujah. You know, and when you know the word of the Lord, you can actually prophesy the word of the Lord. That's what Ezekiel did. You know, God told him, you know, prophesy unto these bones, you know, and prophesy unto the wind, prophesy upon the bones, and then prophesy unto the winds. And he did exactly that. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Well, can you do the same? Can you prophesy upon the dry bones? Can you prophesy unto the wind as you are commanded? That's right. Use the word of God to do exactly that. You know, that's how it works. And that's what we call prophetic prayer. So ladies and gentlemen, let's do it. I welcome every one of you into the room. And I invite you, you know, let's do it together. I want you to come, you know, and let's do it together. Come to the stage and let's do this together. You know, I'm done with my lesson. I want to make this more of a prayer room today because of the topic. It's prophetic prayers. And we got to, you know, we got to prophesy this thing with our mouth. It's what we say. You know, remember we read it, as thou hast declared in my ears, so will I do unto you. So that's what we're going to do. So if you would like to join us in this prophetic prayer session, I want you to come and join us on stage. I will call out some things as the Lord gives me, and we will declare it. And you can do your own prophetic declaration as well. You know, remember, lose thyself from the bands around your neck. You don't need anybody. You can do it yourself. Shake yourself from the dust. You got to do it. Glory to God. You know, sometimes God gives some anointing or some anointed person to help you out. But first and foremost, you can do it yourself. And also, you can put it in that chat room and believe God with us today. So I want you to take a minute, put it in the chat room, and come to the stage as well. And let's do this thing together. And let's believe God this morning. It is a good day. It is the first day of the 12th month. On such a day like that, God told Ezekiel to take a lamentation against the forces of darkness. And so on a day like this, we are taking a lamentation against the forces of darkness. So, you know, I need some prayer warriors up on here. And let's do it together. Glory to God. Come on, let's do it together. Hallelujah. This is the hour of power. How do we know that we have power? Well, because Jesus said it. Luke 10 and 19. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and to have power over all the power of the enemy. I have given you power, he said, in my name. You know, it's called power of attorney. We can act in his name. We can act by his name. And we can act through his name and for his name. Notice all of that. In his name, by his name, through his name, and for his name. And we can do great things for the Lord to bring glory to him and to set the record straight. You know, that enough already. You know, I'm not going to let the enemy take my corn anymore. I am not going to let, look, even if you have children, you know, that are wayward, which the enemy has put, you know, put in traps and so forth. We have promises from God, you know, and I love it when a parent can know how to stand in the gap, you know, for their children. Jeremiah 31 and verse 16 and 17. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. Your work over these children, the labor that you have labored, it shall be rewarded, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thy hand, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. Isn't that wonderful? You know, you take that word and you prophetically use it in prayers over your children or grandchildren or whatever, you know, and you begin to pray it because the Lord already said it. That's a prophetic prayer. You take any promise in this Bible concerning anything and you begin to declare it. You begin to use it. God said, look, put me in remembrance. Isaiah 43 and 26. We read it. Declare it that you may be justified. You use that word. You come in prayer, and that's it. Glory to God.